This is ProBlogger.
Hi there, it's Darren from ProBlogger here. Welcome to episode 146 of the ProBlogger podcast, where today I want to talk a little bit about writing great sales copy, whether that be blog posts that sell, sales emails, creating sales pages, or even selling on social media. A lot's been written about the topic, particularly focusing upon techniques to use in headlines or titles, how to use particular keywords or power words, how to get your call to action right, how to use video or change the color of your buttons or split test your pages. All of this advice is great, and I really do encourage you to do a lot of reading and research on that. But one of the best pieces of advice I've ever had when it comes to writing sales copy is something that doesn't really involve writing at all. It doesn't even involve saying anything or communicating anything. And I want to talk about that today. And really, what I want to talk about today is to shut up and to listen. You can get today's show notes at problogger.com/podcast/146, where I will elaborate a little further.
Creating great content, finding an audience, building engagement, monetizing your blog. This is ProBlogger.
Okay, so let's get into today's show. The advice I want to give you today is to shut up and listen. You heard me correct. It's a little bit blunt, and I hope I don't offend anyone by saying it. But the advice I was given many, many years ago, in fact, I've been given it from numerous people. And today I came across an old post over at CopyBlogger, which really summed up this lesson really well. And I want to link to that in today's show notes at problogger.com/podcast/146. It's a post that Robert Bruce wrote 3 or 4 years ago now called "The Best Damn Copywriting Advice I've Found." And it really is a great post. It's only a few hundred words long. It's quite short. But really, in this particular post, Robert Bruce says the same thing. You know, you really need, in your copywriting, before you start copywriting, before you start writing your sales page, before you start writing that blog post that sells something, before you start putting together tweets and social media updates to sell something, you really do need to shut up and listen. And he suggests 3 different areas that you can listen. And I want to read you just a paragraph on each of these 3 areas that Robert wrote, and then elaborate on it, that a little bit more, and give you some examples of how we've been listening to our audience, particularly over at Digital Photography School, to create our sales copy. Okay, so the first thing that Robert talks about in his excellent post is to listen to whoever created the product that you're selling. So if you are a business person, you might have one of your team who has created a product or a service that your business is selling. If you're a blogger and you are selling an ebook, maybe that product creator is you, or maybe it's someone else that you're working with. On Digital Photography School, all of the ebooks and courses that we've created in the last few years have been created in partnership with someone else. So whether it is you or whether it's someone else, listen to the creator of the product. Now, this is probably something that you've done to some extent, but I think it's really important to set aside some time to work with whoever's created your product. Robert writes this. He says, "Listen to the creator of the product. Let her talk for hours, if necessary, about what makes it work, why she built it, what she hopes it will do for her customers. This practice alone might give you the bulk of the copy you end up using." And this has certainly been true for us on Digital Photography School. We try to involve the authors of our ebooks, the creators of our courses, the creators of the software that we sell, very much from the very beginning of talking to them, even before they create the product. We try to talk to them as much as possible to understand how we could market the product. Even before they've created it, we're always thinking about how will we sell this product, because how we sell the product will also shape the product itself in many cases. So we're asking the writers of our ebooks, the creators of our courses, things like, you know, why do you want to create this product? Who is it for? Or who have you created it with them in your mind? What are the benefits of the product in their mind? What words, and this is something to listen to, what words do they repeatedly use to describe it? The things that they constantly refer to the product as will help you a lot. And I'll give you an example of that in a moment. How does the product actually work? How do you use it? What makes the product work? What's the secret sauce in the product? What problem will the product solve? What doubts and worries do they have about how their product might be perceived? That can be really useful information to know what the limitations of the product are. How could the product even be misunderstood? What other products do they know of that their product is similar to, but what are the differences? Understanding from the product creators in their words how they describe the product in these sorts of ways can really give you some real understanding about how to sell that product. So what we do at Digital Photography School is actually ask a lot of these questions even before they've created the product. They create an outline, they create a description of the product, they tell us who the product is for. This helps us, one, to work out whether we want to create that product in partnership with them. It also helps us to shape that product a little bit because we know our audience and we know whether that will fit with our audience. But two, it does help us as we begin to plan about how we're going to market that product. And then once they've finished the product, we also get them to do the same sort of exercise because sometimes what they set out to create ends up being a little bit different to what they actually create. And so we get them to write a few paragraphs, particularly about how they would sell the product. And we talk to them, you know, in numerous conversations about what the product is like, asking some of those types of questions. Let me give you a really practical example. We've just, in the last few weeks, launched a course over on Digital Photography School about how to use Lightroom, Adobe Lightroom. And when we were talking to the creator of that course, Mike Newton, we kept hearing him use the words mastering Lightroom as a description of what the course set out to do. He wanted to help people to master Lightroom. And this mastering Lightroom was a word that he used quite a bit. And so we decided to pick up on that. And we liked the idea of, you know, that mastering kind of word. And so we actually decided to call the course Lightroom Mastery. And we use the word mastering quite a bit in the sales copy. That's just one quick example of how our author's language actually shaped some of our sales copy. And there's many other examples that I can give you about that as well. But the key here is to really work with the person who's created that product. Now, that, as I said before, may be you. And it might be useful to get someone else to interview you about your product to see what words you naturally come up with in conversation and to get them to reflect back to you what you keep saying about that particular product. This also works if you are doing an affiliate promotion. If you are promoting someone else's product as an affiliate, sometimes it can be good to jump on the phone with them and find out a little bit more about the product and why they created it. Just those sorts of conversations often unlock ideas for you as well. If you don't have the opportunity to get on the phone with them, look at the sales copy that they use to describe their product as well. Look at the blog posts that they wrote about their product in. Look at other interviews that they may have done on other people's sites. These types of things will help you to understand where they're coming from with the product, and often that's a great place to start.
You're listening to Pro Blogger.
The second type of listening that Robert Bruce talks about in his particular blog post is listening to your audience. This is what he writes. He says, listen to your audience. What are they telling you, directly or indirectly, about what they want and need? If social media has given us anything, it's an unprecedented ability to hear the demands and desires of real people in real time. Now, I love this idea from Robert of listening to your audience when it comes to sales copy. And this, for me, is probably the most powerful thing that he writes in this post. And a lot of what I do when I'm writing sales copy today really comes down to understanding my audience. Now, this is something you don't want to just do in the lead up to selling something to your audience. Obviously, the more you know about your audience, the better when it comes to blogging, creating blog content, engaging with them, but also selling to them as well. And you want to be listening to your audience even before you start creating products as well, because what you hear from your audience and their needs and challenges, the language that they use, these types of things will help you to come up with ideas for products as well. But when you do come to writing sales copy, ask yourself some of these types of questions. You know, who is the audience? Who is going to buy this product? What are their pains? What are their challenges? What are their problems as they pertain to the solution that your product offers? Actually, understanding how they express those pains is really useful as well. What language do they use to express that pain that they have or the challenge that they have? On the flip side, what are the gains that they are hoping for? What are the dreams that they're hoping to come true as a result of using your product or a product like yours? Again, what language do they use to describe those gains that they're hoping for? Their language is really important. You may even want to do like a little focus group with a few of your readers and get them to describe and sell the product in their own words. Some of the words that they use will be very important. And what are their fears? It might be something else. You know, what do they worry about as they look at your product? What are the questions that they have about it? What are the objections that they raise to the product as well? This is the type of data that, and feedback that you might get once your product is launched. And this is really important, I think. A lot of people write their sales copy and then they just release their product and then they never change their sales page. I actually think what you hear back from your audience in the hours after you launch, either in emails that you might get or comments that you might get on blog posts or things that you might hear in social media, the objections that people have, the questions that they ask about your product, they should be changing your sales page. And you really should be, in the hours after you release a product, be tweaking your sales copy based upon those things. And what we've done on a number of our sales pages is added a section on our sales page, frequently asked questions. And this is simply to answer the questions that we're hearing that our readers are asking. For example, in the early days when we first started to write about we first started to launch ebooks, we used to get a lot of questions about, you know, how can I read it? You know, is this a hard copy thing or is it something I can download on my iPhone? Or, you know, what do I read it on? What devices is it compatible with? And these types of questions were very frequent. And we noticed every time someone asked them, they were less likely to actually buy the product because they then have to wait for us to reply to them. So we build a frequently asked question section in our sales pages now that answers all those questions so that as they're reading the sales page, they have those objections being removed from them. So really, it's important to understand your readers' objections in that type of way. Another example of how we try and hear from our readers as we're formulating sales copy. Recently, with this Lightroom course that we just released, I put a number of messages up on social media that were really just about probing our readers, asking them questions to find out how they used Lightroom and to understand the frustrations and challenges that they had with Lightroom. Obviously, the course creator had a bit of an understanding of some of those challenges. He based a lot of what he put together in the course based upon what he'd seen, but I wanted to find out from our readers what language they used to describe those frustrations. And a couple of themes came back. I very explicitly put a question onto our Facebook page, what are your frustrations and challenges with Lightroom? And the two themes that came back were people felt overwhelmed by the software. They would buy it, but they didn't even have any understanding of how to use it, and they just felt completely overwhelmed by it and ended up not using it at all. Very common theme that came back. And the other one was people had so many photos that they didn't have time to process them. And so not having enough time was another theme. And so we began to weave those two themes into our sales copy. And if you were on the receiving end of some of the emails that we sent, you will have seen those themes. I think the tagline on our sales page is Master Lightroom Tips and Tools that will bring your photos to life and save you tons of time. Saving time is something that is repeated on the sales page a number of times. On our social media posts about this course, quite often I started those social media posts with the words, overwhelmed by Lightroom? Question. And that really worked very well. And again, save time was something that we used again and again in our sales emails, but also on social media.
Creating great content and building your audience. This is ProBlogger.
The other thing that we've used in some of our communications of sales on this particular course is we've really emphasized that the course is a step-by-step guide. And really, it's about hand-holding. And this is something we've noticed has worked well. Our readers really want that. And some of them explicitly ask for a step-by-step guide. And so, again, that's their language. We use their language to sell it to them. So understand what your readers' challenges, the pains, the things that they want to achieve, and the language that they use. In the post that I'm talking about, Robert writes this. He says, humble yourself and truly serve your audience. Listen to their needs and desires. Listen to the language they use. If you listen carefully, your audience can eventually give you everything you need, including much of your copy. Get out of their way. I love that idea. And this has certainly been true for me. Every time it comes, I come to sell something to our audience, I really try and get in their heads and understand the language that they're using as much as possible. The third area that Robert talks about in his blog post is one that I think is brilliant as well. He says, listen to your competitors. He says this, it's wise to have a view of the entire battlefield. What's working in your market? What's not? What can you learn from others' success and failure and the language that got them there? This is great advice as well. And I would say, particularly in the blogging space, you can learn a lot from your competitors, but a lot of the time your competitors will actually be collaborators as well. And this has certainly been the case for us on Digital Photography School. Many of the products that we've created, we've actually created with competitors. And the Lightroom course that I've referred to a number of times in this podcast today was created by Mike Newton, who many people might say is a competitor of ours. He has a site which sells similar types of products to us. But he came onto our radar a number of years ago when we were looking for other people's products to promote as an affiliate. And we learned a lot by looking at the way that he was selling his products, which were competing products in some ways to ours. But we loved what he was doing so much that we reached out to him to promote his products, but also to collaborate with him on our product. And so whilst Robert does talk here about competitors, I would say, you know, learn and listen from your collaborators as well. Knowing what other people are selling, how they sell it, can really shape what you do. Now, don't just go out and steal what other people are doing and replicate exactly what they're doing, but certainly learn from what they're doing as well. We constantly watch what other photography sites are doing. And, you know, as I mentioned before, we actively promote their products as affiliates, partly to make money, but also it's a great way of researching and again, listening to, I guess, shape what we then create as well. You know, by promoting other people's products as an affiliate, we see if our audience has an appetite for that type of product, that format of product, that priced product. We also get to test our own marketing sales copy and get responses from our audience on that. We also learn a lot by watching how our affiliate partners promote what they do as well. We analyze their sales pages, their sales emails, their social media as well. So listen to your competitors, see if you can make them collaborators, because a lot of learning will come out of that process as well. I'm going to link to Robert's post in today's show notes at problogger.com/podcast/146. It's a really quick read and he's a great writer and you'll probably enjoy checking out some of the other posts that he's written as well. But I really encourage you, if you are selling something at the moment, to do the exercise. Listen to whoever created the product, whether that's you or someone else. Listen to your audience. Understand the language that they use. That's really got to be the basis for the sales copy that you write. And then listen to your competitors and collaborators as well. Hope you found this useful. I will chat with you in a couple of days' time in episode 147 of this ProBlogger podcast.
You've been listening to Pro Blogger. If you'd like to comment on any of today's topics or subscribe to the series, find us at problogger.com/podcast. Tweet us at ProBlogger. Find us at facebook.com/ProBlogger or search ProBlogger on iTunes.
Before you go, I want to just draw your attention to the virtual ticket that we've just released for the ProBlogger event this year. Our event is on the 9th and 10th of September here in Australia, but we understand many of you cannot get to Australia for the live version of the event. So we've put together a great little virtual ticket for you over at problogger.net/virtual ticket. And when you go over there, you're going to see what I think is a really great offer. We survey our readers every year to find out what they want at our event. And we came up this year with what I think is probably one of our best schedules ever. We've got 50 sessions. There's 6 keynotes. There's a number of workshops. There's breakout sessions on a wide variety of topics, from creating content for your blog and social media to different aspects of social media. We've got a session on growing your effectiveness of using Facebook, both with organic Facebook use and also paid Facebook use. We've got sessions on Instagram. We've got sessions on using email to sell. We've got sessions on creating a great sales funnel. We've put together a whole schedule which is purely based upon what our readers express to us as their pains, the challenges that they have, and their dreams as well. And we've brought in speakers from around the world to help with that. We've also got some sessions on some of the newer forms of social media, and we've brought in Brian Fanzo from the US, who's going to talk about live streaming and influence. So we're doing some new stuff, but also some of that tried and true stuff as well. I'm doing 3 sessions this year, the opening keynote, but also doing a session on monetizing blogs as well. Really introductory type stuff on this particular session. So there's a great variety of things that we've put together in this year's event. And we're also adding in as a bonus for people who want to pick up that virtual ticket, all the sessions from last year's event as well. And there's 23 different sessions that we've put together there. Again, I've put together a few of those sessions, but we've got other people like Jada Selner from Simple Green Smoothies, who did a fantastic keynote, as well as another session on how she uses Instagram. So there's a whole variety of sessions there. You'll get between the 2 years, over 73 sessions. And most of those sessions go for 45 or so minutes. So there's a heap of content there for you to access both immediately and once our event happens in September. And of course, the other extra part of the virtual ticket is a private, exclusive accountability and networking group on Facebook, where you will have the opportunity to ask questions, get to know other bloggers within your niche, and we'll also be starting some discussions around your goal setting and trying to keep you accountable to the things that you learn in the event as well. That's completely exclusive to those attending via virtual ticket or live at the event as well. So another great way to learn and keep yourself on track. So head over to problogger.net/virtual ticket to pick up your virtual ticket. Before I go, I want to give a big shout out and say thank you to Craig Hewitt and the team at Podcast Motor, who've been editing all of our podcasts for some time now. Podcast Motor have a great range of services for podcasters at all levels. They can help you to set up your podcast, but also offer a couple of excellent services to help you to edit your shows and get them up with great show notes. Check them out at podcastmotor.com.